Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to another Friday afternoon of It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you because you are the best. And it is your support that inspires us to leave the house, frantically search the internet, look and see what other things people are talking about, ask our kid what's going on, and basically try to uncover the trends that are about to become a trend or have been a trend just long enough for everybody to be talking about them at once. A pandemic, if you will, but not the bad kind.
Right. Which one's wider? Pandemic's wider than epidemic, right?
Yeah. Just starts in the one place.
Correct. Mm-hmm. This is definitely not that, nor is it a disease. Although it did send me on a journey. I went out for a doctor's appointment, but also to look for things. And I didn't find any until I came back home, Molly.
Oh,
the things I wanted were always right here.
So deep, man. So deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, what you got?
Dresses.
I mean, well played, friend. Like, I'm tiered, doing a little golf clap for you.
Tiered dresses, a.k.a. skyscraper chic, a.k.a. the Chrysler dress. And in fact, The Guardian asks the question, is this the beginning of the end of fitted dresses?
Oh, hot damn.
Because these aren't... These don't hug you. These aren't like trying to make you look thin. They're big cake-like dresses that start skinny at the top and just get wider as they go towards the bottom in a bunch of tiers.
Dude, totally. Also, I love that in a write-up about it, it says, dresses in the style of the Art Deco skyscraper are everywhere. Like, where do they get this stuff? I love it. But you're totally right.
The Chrysler Building, if anyone doesn't know, is famous because at the very top, it has this sort of like, I don't know, is it Gothic? Or it's Art Deco, like you just said. Duh. Yeah. It's tiers that kind of go up into a pinnacle. And so the dresses are basically trying to copy that in various ways.
That is so clever. And I wonder who came up with it. But it really, and actually it's perfect timing for it because it sort of goes with the, like there was... The Elaine dress was back for a little bit, like that sort of Elaine look that's sort of vaguely prairie. But this is sort of even cooler because it's very structured.
Yeah, the prairie dress is very similar to this in that sort of like, you know, narrow at the top, wide going down. This is a more urban version, I guess you might say, since it's based on a skyscraper.
Okay, let's just talk about fashion writing for a second. This is from The Guardian. In its most fashionable form, the Chrysler dress cross-pollinates with Americana in its other voguish form. The prairie dress is where Scandi chic meets pop culture's yeehaw trend, in which the cowboy is making a postmodern comeback.
Oh no, and then they reference Lil Nas X.
Dude, wow. I mean, a lot of things have been collected in this one article about Chrysler dresses, and you have somehow topped it off as though it were the peak of the Chrysler Building with... The dress trend.
You're going to be watching the Oscars. Well, I don't know. Maybe you won't. But a lot of people will be watching the Oscars on Sunday. And the dresses are a big part of that often. You know, the fashion. What are people, what kind of
thing?
Look for this. Who's wearing the Chrysler dress? Who's wearing the tiered dresses?
I'm going to be looking everywhere. Hilariously, I have a fashion thing to present to you today that is almost fundamentally the opposite of a high fashion, haute couture, structured, stylish look.
Okay,
and nevertheless, I have seen them in several locations lately, and it is the Mexican Baja poncho.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this many on one page since I was in college.
Since like the 80s and 90s.
The guy's name was Arno on our floor.
Oh, there were so many, and they all smelled like patchouli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can only assume. So I saw actually a bunch in Southern California, which I think makes sense. There's one called Surfer's Dream. I think it's probably like it's a good surfer post surfing thing.
Probably never went out of style there, right?
To put on it. Probably never went out of style. But then I started noticing that, like, I think I saw it around Oakland. I think it goes with stoner culture. I think it's like all part of the weed culture comeback.
Yeah.
Because these things are weed all the way.
Yeah. It is haute couture for the stoner.
For the weed culture set. If you're not familiar with the Mexican Baja Poncho, I don't really even know how to explain it, except that it's a pull. It's in its purest form, a pullover poncho with like a kangaroo pocket in the front. And it usually has a hood. And it the one I had in college, I'm not proud. But the one I had in college was made of the most awful fabric. Like, I feel like they were all this like horrible wool scratchiness.
Are they
situation.
Hemp?
Maybe they're hemp.
They really should be.
They probably freaking are. Baja,
but yeah, they're whatever they are. It's super rough. It's like a really rough, coarse fabric.
Yep.
It's not comfy. You got to wear a shirt under this.
Oh yeah, and then they have this. A lot of them are, you know, they're very colorful. They have a very sort of like Mexican look to them, with like a lot of turquoise and a real blocky kind of geometric patterns.
Blocky stripes.
Yeah. You can get them in Rasta colors because you are a stoner.
Of course you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine there somebody might make a comfy version of this. I wouldn't mind hearing about that. But mostly, like, the classic one was super rough.
It was. I don't know why. But yeah, it's back at cbdmyths.com. You can order a classic Mexican Baja hoodie pullover poncho. Oh my God, it totally is. It just goes with the CBD thing. Wow. We are
new
really
fuchsia for men.
We are not progressing, are we?
Well, you know, everything cycles back around. What I'm looking for is like, what's the new take? And it really doesn't look like there's anything. Like, these look exactly the same as the ones that people in college.
They really do. Oh my God. There's an Amazon's choice version for $30. They look exactly the same. This Baja Drug Rug Yurga.
Drug rug.
It is made of 100% recycled fibers, split hemsa, incredibly soft, warm, and comfortable. So maybe they've gotten fleecier.
They started. Maybe that's the improvement this time around, is they made them comfy.
I mean, I hope so. But other than that, it is like literally as you remember, whether you remember wearing it or seeing it on Dreadlock Guys. There we go.
That is a great one.
Heaven help us.
Welcome back, Mexican Baja Ponchos.
Please confirm if you can in your particular geographic region, but it's...
All right. The link seems to be broken on my next one. I'm going to find it for you because this is important. The boba hot pot.
Okay.
So you know what boba tea is, right? It's the milk tea with little... pearls of tapioca.
Yeah.
And you get the big fat straw so you can suck up the pearls. Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what hot pot is?
Yeah. In fact, hot pot is a thing.
Yeah. Hot pot itself is a thing.
Which we'll return to.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And if anybody doesn't know, hot pot is where you cook some meat in a soup. And you eat it communally. You just ladle it out into your bowls and everybody takes a share in a hot pot. Boba hot pot has started over in Asia, but is finally coming from Taipei to the U.S. in San Jose, where there are different versions of it. The most probably unsettling version for the people in the U.S. is the one where you actually have a hot pot of soup on half of the cauldron and milk tea on the other half. Just
Whoa.
A little close for comfort.
Yeah.
But the one being served at Milk Tea Lab in San Jose is that you have the bubbling cauldron of tea. It's actually not that hot. They just use a candle flame to heat it. And then you share out the tea amongst everybody. And then you add your own boba or your own syrups. But you add the milk into the hot part in the middle. So everybody gets the same milk tea, and then you can flavor it and add bobas to your taste.
Wow. That is insane and so specific. And I kind of want to go there.
And well, here's the thing is like, this is the sort of thing where it's like, because it probably originated in Guangzhou, China, because it's definitely happening in places like Hong Kong and Indonesia and Taipei, and it's now hitting San Jose in the Bay Area.
Right.
I feel like it's got all the makings to become a thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, bubble tea, as the kids call it,
right,
has been huge.
Yeah. And that started the same way. It was huge in Asia, then it kind of came over to the West Coast, and then now it's everywhere.
Right. And I have been corrected, by the way, by my son, who's sitting next to me as I record, and he says, they definitely call it boba.
He's like, nobody calls it boba.
I often see it referred to as bubble tea. But yeah, it's so interesting because this is like the sort of peak and highly unlikely marriage of two trends. Because I was even talking to somebody recently about hot pot and how hot pot is totally a thing, and I have to remember to mention that on It's a Thing, which I forgot. And then boba tea has been like all, I mean, we would have to go so far out of the way for all those calories. And the fact that they've come together in San Jose is kind of like the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I really want to go here.
Yeah.
Do you think they have
if you
dinner?
Get a chance to go there, give us a report.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And
I think
photos.
it's just a boba tea place.
Yeah.
But then you can also do the little sit down, like, let's share the tea amongst all of us.
It looks like there's one in Brooklyn that has, like you said, the savory hot pot on one side and the bubble tea.
Oh, yeah.
On the other.
Shang because, hot pot.
Because hot pot is almost, it's sort of almost like a shabu shabu in Japan where you, or like a fondue.
Yeah, right.
Like you cook the meat in it.
Totally.
And veggies and whatever. And then apparently this place.
Fondue of the 20s.
It's totally the fondue of the 20s. That might be the greatest sentence ever uttered. The fondue of the 20s. Oh, my God.
Hot pot milk tea.
Wow.
Boba hot pot. The fondue of the 20s.
My last thing is just relevant to my interest because all we ever talk about in the Bay Area is houses and housing. But a huge part of the housing conversation has become, well, two things. Basically, it's all about easier ways to build housing, right? Because we have a nationwide housing shortage. I'm not trying to do a little marketplace story here, but it's this sort of fascinating trend where it's like, how can we put up a house faster and in some cases cheaper? And so modular and prefab houses have been on the verge of becoming a thing for years. Like in California, we have Blue, BLU homes, which I looked into trying to build in like 2006. And then I think it sort of borderline went out of business a couple times and now it's back. And they're these very like stylish prefab houses where it's just way easier to build them. They basically truck in the parts. They, you know, they build them off site and then truck them in. And then the offshoot of that is this like encouragement to build what are known as ADUs, alternative dwelling units. Do you guys have these in LA?
Well, are this like an in-law thing?
Yeah, they're like a little, they're like a, the, sometimes, at Porter is right, they're sometimes referred to as a granny flat.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or they're like
the studio slash in-law.
The studio slash in-law. Yeah.
Cottage, sometimes you'll see it called a cottage, garage apartment. Yeah.
Yes,
totally.
All of those.
Oh, those are all over LA.
All
There's
of those
rarely
have been
houses without them, to be honest. Ours doesn't.
Oh, I know. That's just it. Like they all have them and they're all being rebranded as ADUs, alternative dwelling units, which is just absurd because what it really means is like it's a tiny house that a family couldn't live in, but you can get a tax break or make yourself feel better by putting a little studio that you Airbnb on your property that makes it both affordable and in theory helps ease housing stock.
And that used to be a problem. It used to be like unlicensed. Like it was called an in-law unit because it's where you'd stick the in-law without getting all the proper permits and stuff. So now it's funny to see it become a promoted, like, actually, we want you to do that. We'll give you credits for doing that.
Yeah.
Please.
Like, we'll literally give you tax credits. And like Oakland is lifting all these regulations so that people can like easily put ADUs on their property. And phones are making noises. And it's just this, it's like a thing. And I have been sort of house hunting. And the longer, the more I look, the more I see that like every house, like a majority of houses, I would say that I see listed at this point, either have an ADU, have some mention of an ADU, or have like a discussion about how you could eventually put one on your property. And so it might be like could be a bubble thing. Like, might not be a thing that's all the way out there into the world yet, but
might not be a worldwide thing, but a thing in places with the property value problem, with the housing problem.
Right.
So your Londons, your San Franciscos, your LAs, Seattle's.
Almost everything, to be honest. I'm actually looking, I'm Googling to see if there's something on it, if there's any mention of HGTV and ADUs in the same search results. Oh,
that's the way to go. That's the way to go.
Because if there is, I'll know.
Because there were these
accessory dwelling unit. That's one.
And, and so it's prefab ADUs are the combination here. This is what we're talking about, where it's like, oh, I don't want to build a whole new structure on my property. And somebody's like, no, it's super fast and easy because we have these modular
things. Let me give you the modular thing. Yeah, it's kind of just like an offshoot of it. Accessory dwelling units, I think they call them also, or that's what they are called. But yeah,
because I'm thinking about this, right? Like in my backyard, we have a really deep hedge. And I'm like, oh, but if you take out that hedge and you got modular, we could slap something up out there, put the old father-in-law in it. In a moment's notice.
You could ADU the hell out of that.
But we could totally do that. It becomes more appealing when you're like, oh, but we have prefab. Like, oh, that sounds a lot less complicated.
Right, totally. And so then there are companies who, in fact, I think Blue, the company I was referring to earlier, bought a modular construction company that makes basically what they call a cottage, which is a little ADU. Uh-huh. They have regulations and restrictions, like they can't be above a certain size. I think they can't be more than like 300 square feet. Or something, but they're completely, I'm looking at the rules. I'm looking at the LA rules and regulations for accessory dwelling units in Los Angeles. Yours can be 1,200 square feet.
That's a house.
That's a house.
That's just a second house. No wonder they're so common here.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's such a weird and vaguely tragic sort of dystopian solution. But I mean, housing density is the key. In a lot of ways, to like fixing our nationwide housing shortage.
If the problem is that nobody wants developments to happen in their backyard, then maybe, ironically, the solution is to let anyone with a backyard add a dwelling.
I know, maybe.
Like, I don't want an apartment complex going up next to me, but I will build a second dwelling in my backyard if I can rent it out.
Exactly. And then they're finding, and then there's this whole, like, there's californiamodulars.com, and their whole deal is, like, we build modular houses and ADUs. Even the prefab companies are now, like, pivoting to the ADU thing, which I just think, I think it's so interesting. And I do think it's, like, about to go nationwide because it's, like, pop up a damn house on a big yard.
Yeah. So what you're saying is,
literally, YIMBY.
When you see the new neighborhood of the future, it will be boba hot pot shops and ADUs everywhere.
That's gonna
and
be
just people walking around in their tiered dresses and Mexican Baja ponchos.
But together, because everyone there will be unity. Even the people in their Chrysler building dresses will hang with the Mexican Baja poncho people
and drink boba hot pot together.
And drink boba hot pot together, and then retire to their tiny ADUs.
To their ADUs.
Which are, of course, ultra modern and
it's
awesome.
It's the neighborhood of tomorrow, 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 tomorrow.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow.
All right. Speaking of tomorrow and living in the future, Tim sent in a TikTok thing. Because TikTok. Says, hi, as the BBC have already reported this, it might have been and is no longer a thing, but the Youngs have been texting friends with lines from the Matthew Wilder 1984 hit Break My Stride.
Uh-huh.
And recording their friends' reactions on TikTok. As you will no doubt remember, the first four lines of the song go, last night I had the strangest dream. I sailed away to China in a little rowboat to find you. And you said you had to get your laundry clean. Didn't want no one to hold you. What does that mean?
Yeah. I've heard this. I've had this done to me.
Yeah.
I have been gotten.
But nobody's going to break it your stride.
By my child. So many times, and I mean
nobody gonna hold you down.
Nobody gonna hold you down. Nobody gonna break my stride.
You got to keep on moving.
Yeah, I can confirm that I have been in a vehicle with two 12 to 13 year olds and had them do this dream thing to each other. In fact, he told it to me in all seat. We were just walking to school, and he's like, man, last night I had the strangest dream. Like, perfect delivery.
That's great.
Kids are great. Weird. I'm going to start that over. Allah backs up Tom on the streaming profile anxiety. And also, I saw a validation of this on Twitter as well. He said, I am with Tom. I have the same issue, but a little bit different. We use Plex at home. I have a profile for me and a profile that my wife and kids share. My server rules.
Yeah.
And anyway, when we watch something on the other account, I have to go to my account and marked as watched. And this is a huge benefit that Plex has over others, I think. Presumably that you can do that at all. Mm-hmm. And then he writes, plus I don't do it for the credit since Plex doesn't really recommend stuff. It's just my OCD flaring up, which is amazing. On another note, I think I have a thing for the thing committee's consideration.
Okay.
I'm a university instructor in a city near Dubai, and my students, mainly 17 to 20-year-old, are quite astute with the latest fashion trends. One such trend that is disturbing me is wearing slides with socks to class. I'm getting goosebumps just typing this. Is this a global thing, or are our quote, privileged students trying to, quote, slum it with their meta faux hobo styles? Allah, I wish... I know, I mean, that's beautiful. And I wish I could tell you it's just them. But it's not. There's a whole socks. There's even like socks with like stilettos. Like you'll probably see it with the freaking Chrysler dresses at the Oscars. Socks.
So 60-year-old men across the world are hailing this new innovation.
Validated at last.
They will be hip once more.
I have seen
for the first time, possibly.
Many. And in fact, on my favorite like site that I brought up on our first return episode, the one the modest one. What is the modest clothing one? What's wrong with me? Anyway, they often feature women wearing like ankle socks with like a high-heeled booty or even a sandal, a high-heeled sandal.
This just, if anyone ever tells you that you're out of fashion and what you're wearing is not cool, just tell them you're ahead of your time.
That's right.
Because I got mocked for wearing a denim shirt with jeans by someone. And they're like, don't you know about the Canadian tuxedo? And then the Canadian tuxedo... like within a year was the new hotness.
Dude, totally. That's straight up Yeehaw agenda, that outfit.
Exactly. And this was years ago. This is like 5 years. This is the first seasons of It's a Thing ago. It was that long ago. And now socks with slides or sandals or, you know,
or
whatever.
Everything. Crocs.
For decades, I've been told you just don't do that. So when I do it in the backyard with my dogs, I look furtively around to make sure no one can see me.
Yeah, no, turns
now,
out.
Now I could walk the carpet. I could walk the red carpet. With
hold on. I'm finding, I'm finding some images.
Man, I'm going to go out in the backyard with the dogs and I got my socks on. I'm just going to slip the slides on. I'm not going to put on full shoes for that.
I mean, true story, because there are no rules anymore.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but I'm at this exact moment wearing ankle socks with Crocs.
There you go.
Because I bought Crocs because I interviewed the Crocs CEO and I thought it was so funny that Crocs were back. And then I've never worn them in my life. And it turns out they're actually really awesome.
Nah, you're like, I get it. I've been
I was like, God damn it. And then today I had to go somewhere, like just run a quick errand where not really anybody was going to see me. And I wore this thing. I wore them together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That happened.
Just do it.
I know. On the one hand, I'm not proud, but I'm also apparently winning.
Yeah. No, you're just a fashion forward. That's what that is.
Yeah.
We're going back to TikTok. Jeremiah on Library says, hi again. I was listening to the recent It's a Thing when you mentioned going to a library is a thing right now. I knew I was going to send feedback because I spend a lot of my days off at the library. Why?
Nice.
Because it is a quiet place to write where I don't have to buy coffee or the like to justify my presence. Although a lot of people just go to coffee shops and don't buy coffee to justify their presence. You're just a moral person, Jeremiah.
I know. Good for you.
Jeremiah says, I write game material for RPGs and having a quiet, free place to write is priceless to me. On a further geeky level, I may have found a thing on TikTok. I'm an older Gen Xer and I started to get into TikTok partly due to hearing Molly mentioning it from time to time on the podcast. Anyway, I noticed a thing on there called Cosplay OC Storylines.
Okay.
So cosplay is big on there for obvious reasons. What I was surprised to see was people making up their own OC, original character cosplays, often inside the popular fictional world, but sometimes their own creation. They then take those characters and make stories with them told through TikTok. You can have dozens of collaborators making stories in short video bursts, often lip syncing to existing audio, repurposed to the stories they are telling. Some of these stories are legitimately amazing, and the creators have earned my respect. It is a rabbit hole I dived down and was fascinated by. I thought I would share that small, nice thing that is super interesting.
Oh, that's amazing. So is that basically fanfic?
it's kind feels like it's in the same TikTok fanfic genus as fanfic, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And
what's it called when you dress for the Disneyland parks where you're not allowed to wear actual cosplay, but you dress in the colors and materials that might let you blend in? There's a word for that and it's escaping me right now, but
there is, Yeah. I don't know what that it's never
it's
heard
like
of it.
Toning or something, but like people will go to Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland and they'll dress in like a light beige loose fitting dress with a brown belt because it looks kind of like something somebody on Jakku might wear.
Oh God.
But you're Disney not allowed to actually wear a costume. So it's a way to kind of sneak in under the rules. Anyway, this feels like that to me.
Yeah, it definitely does. Fascinating. Cheryl wrote in with one of just many replies to say, succulents, all caps. She says, OMG, such a thing. I'm a glass artist in Utah. Oh, so amazing. Cool. And she says, this past week, I taught an online class teaching people how to make succulents out of glass. Which is fascinating. Huh. She said, people tuned in from all over the globe to see how I make the most successful online class I've ever taught. Love the podcast. I listen every Friday when I'm working from home. Love
it. Oh my gosh, Cheryl, thank you for this.
Oh my God. And by the way, the glass succulent photo is incredible.
Well, yeah. This
is they're beautiful.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
and
go to the
these
website.
Will not die.
It's a thing taught me. This is a succulent that you cannot kill unless you push it over by accident.
I mean, succulents are hard to kill anyway, but this is fantastic.
And we did get several emails validating that they're seeing succulents all over, not in California. Like somebody was like, oh yeah, I live in, I think, Michigan, and I went to Michael's and they had a huge succulent display out front. And I was like, all right, yep.
All right. Finally, Allie sent in a few things that we need a ruling on in what our producer Rich suggests would be a new segment called Thing or No Thing.
I love it. Okay. One.
All right.
Mustaches.
Mustaches.
Yes.
Thing. Ugh. Yeah. Two. Cowboy boots. Allie says, I've seen a few photos celebrities wearing and also seen styles sold in stores.
I'm going to say, yeah, that goes with Yeehaw Agenda. I'm buying that.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Okay.
Three, hard kombucha.
Has it passed? I feel like that peaked and now is sort of like, eh.
That was in the White Claw wake or ahead of the White Claw.
Yeah, that was like pre-White Claw.
Pre-White Claw.
I feel like hard kombucha might have moved on, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Was a thing.
Though. Was a thing and might still be with a certain poncho wearing selection. Eyelash extensions and eyebrow microblading and brow and lash bars, i.e. places that specialize in only eyebrow and eyelash services. Huge thing.
Stay away from my eyes.
Huge. Apparently, literally everything related to lashes and brows is like the biggest moneymaker of all time right now.
Okay, so definitely a thing, Allie. Definitely a thing. And
definitely.
Then astrology?
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah?
On Instagram. Astrology is huge on Instagram. There are all these like accounts that post like horoscope stuff and then just like stupid, and I'm saying this because I follow like three of them, like stupid inspirational things that work for everyone, but you're like, oh my God, I needed that right now.
Is it the right time to do a parody astrology account then?
Yes.
Because I've wanted to do that my
because
whole life,
some of them
honestly.
Are basically already parody. You know, like you're doing exactly what you were put in this galaxy to do. You are all power.
That's freaking me out just hearing you parody it. Blundstone boots? I don't know what those are.
I don't either, but I'm yeah. Mm-hmm. Blundstone boots are the pull-on boots. They've got a loop in the front and in the back, and they're kind of a ankle height boot, and they've got elastic sort of U-shaped tongue on each side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? Damn. Good eye.
I don't think you had a single no thing. Hard kombucha is just an old thing, not a no thing.
But it's not a
everything
nothing.
Else. You're right on target.
It's not a thing, as we say on on It's a Thing. God bless America. Now I need some of these Blundstone boots. I thought I was going to get out of this episode without shopping.
Darn it, Allie. Look what you've done.
Biscuits.
Well, thankfully, we have people supporting us at generous levels at our patreon.com/It's a Thing. And if you support us at the top level, you get a shout out with the date you joined from the French Republican calendar. as researched by our producer.
AKA, he says, the best metric calendar.
So
you don't
here
just
we go.
Get a regular shout out like you would on some other show. No.
That's lazy. Those people at Daily Tech News Show with like three people a day.
Pish posh.
Yeah, this is way better. Gabriel Cohen, who joined our Patreon on the 4th of Fremer, the Medlar Day in the year 228.
Jake Woods, who joined our Patreon on the 22nd of Fremer, the Heather Day in the year 228.
Louis Saint-Amour, who joined our Patreon on the 23rd of Nivose, the Iron Day in the year 227.
Mike Akins, who joined our Patreon on the 23rd of Fremer, the Reed Plant Day, in the year 227.
Sacre bleu, merci to you all.
Wow, we really learned a lot here today. We really have. Thanks, Producer Rich. And thanks to all of you who support the show and make sure that it happens every week, because it is the best part of our week and we couldn't do it without you.
Oh my gosh, you saved us this week. Keep it coming. Email us feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Give it to me. I
don't need no man. This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.